6 and  115-182B of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the north side of Lighthouse Road. The 911 address is 32113 Lighthouse Road in Selbyville. The zoning district is C1. The tax map is District 533, map 17, parcel 83. The applicant is seeking a 1.5-foot variance from the 20-foot side yard setback requirement for a proposed building and a 10-foot variance from the 20-foot side yard setback requirement for a proposed storage building. We have zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail return.
May I have to start over? Good evening, Mr. Chair, and last but not least, Mr. Shaw. My name's Tim Willard, for the record, with Fuqua Willard and Shaw here on the circle, representing the applicants. The applicants are Tammy and Doug Clark. They're doing business as B&amp;C Clark LLC. And I'm going to go through my presentation, talk about the site area, the property, the history of the property, and obviously the request and the elements, and I'll try to move efficiently. You have that up on the screen right now. It kind of looks like chicken houses. It's not. It's their property, and it's approximately 3.79 acres. Those are storage facilities. And the property, that's not most recent, because the property's been developed a little more since then. If I can talk about the site area, and I forgot who I was dealing with, Jessica, I think. I sent over some exhibits. They may or may not be available, and if not, I have hard copies. I printed a tax map parcel, just because it's good to get the overview. May I approach? Just very briefly, you'll see the colored tax map parcel. Yeah. And you see that pink blob to the left? That's Selbyville. It isn't quite connected with Fenwick yet, but it's growing in that direction. But you see that little yellow square there with the red in the middle? I know it's not up on the screen, so it's that little red square right there, in the middle right there. And that, all the pink is Selbyville, and there are residential communities all around there. I just thought I'd get you an idea of where it is. It's sort of nestled on the edge of Selbyville, surrounded by a bunch of developments, and it is C1. This isn't a change of zone. It's a variance request, so we don't need to get into too much of that, but it's also in the developing district of your comp plan. The property itself is C1, which permits storage units. The acreage is 3.79 acres. The dimensions are kind of odd, you might say unique. It's 338 feet of frontage, and the by 493 by 348 by 480. So I guess you would call that a trapezoid. A little history on this property, and I don't know if we can bring up the site plan. I submitted some after the application. That's probably the best one. Originally, parcel 1800. It used to be 1801, and then 1800 on the side that's being developed now. In 2013, the site to the left, where you saw the long storage facilities, that was a subject of the Board of Adjustments variance application. They have those four storage buildings. And the ones in the front, there's a 60-foot setback for commercial along such a roadway like that. And they asked for a 40-foot variance for the ones that were showing in the other photo that are gone. Sorry, I jump around a little bit. And the Board of Adjustment granted the variance for that 40-foot variance for a 60-foot setback back in 2013, saying the property is unique due to setback requirement changes, and the variance is necessary to enable reasonable use. The variance will not determine be detrimental to public welfare, and the variance sought is the minimum variance necessary for relief. So that's just a little history on the property, where you saw the first set of buildings to the left. A little more history on that. And that's, for the record, that's case number 11224, and it was known as Lighthouse Self-Storage. So you, the Board of Adjustment, I don't think any of you were here, 2013, but it was, you've addressed this, at least in that area. So then in 2021, Mr. Clark approached the county to get a site plan approval. And if you look at, if you looked at your packet online and you went through the attachments, you got into a pretty nitty-gritty of a site plan. And you might have said, is this the variance application? No, that was the site plan that was approved in 2021 for several buildings on the right-hand side. And that's when both, and that's when both parcels were combined and they were approved and it didn't need any variance. And I don't know if you all have, can you pull this up, the renditions? I'm going to pass that up if I may, Mr. Chair. Oh, you have it? Okay.
Yeah, we've got
a package. Okay, I'm hitting you everywhere. I guess. Once upon a pine years ago, I probably had all kinds of stuff to have, but nobody had anything, so I'm sort of paranoid that way. But in any event, this is, if we can go through these slides, you'll see that's the building on the left that was built in 2021, and the site plan was in your packet. And it, what you're seeing on the right is what they're proposing. That's 160 by 10 foot long, 10 foot wide storage facility. Not climate control, but with doors, obviously, they'd be 10 by 10, some 10 by 5. And you'll also see in the back is the other building they're proposing, which it needs a 1.5 per foot variance. And I can tell you that there's, because of this area and because of the service they provide, there's a pretty large demand for having such facilities. So probably now I need to talk about very specifically what we're asking for. You may know, but for the record, if you look at the Exhibit 1 and Exhibit 2, that's a better shot of it too. That blue building on the back, blue roof, that's already there. And originally the more substantial building, three-story on the front, it was designed for actually office buildings, and it got, you know, permitted and built right when COVID was kind of taken off. And so the office buildings didn't really take, so it's been modified somewhat interior for the storage facilities. And this is managed by their family over the years. So we can go back to the actual site plan that's showing the dimensions. Yeah, you see that's the proposed building in the back you saw with the doors. Mr. Clark has indicated there's a demand for sort of a niche, maybe, demand for like antique cars and special cars where people want them stored, and there's some talk of using that building for that purpose because they're wide enough and as sort of garages. And you see the required setback is 20 feet on that right-hand side because two reasons. One, it's C1 where they're building it, and it's next to a residential lot, and that reduces it or increases it to 20 feet instead of 10 feet. So we're asking for 10 feet be closer to that border. And I'm gonna show you, I don't have to show you anything because you have them, and they may show up on the screen. That is pictures of the adjacent property. One reason, when they first did this site plan, they had to manage, obviously, stormwater because of the topography of the property. They have plenty of parking, and they will if this is approved. But there's a, if you do look at what was approved and part of your record of the site plan that was approved in 2021, part of the stormwater management facility is right in that area there. And if they had it 5 feet, if they gave the 20-foot setback, it would just barely cut into that a little bit. So because of these circumstances, and you'll see the other side of that border planted, and it makes sense that it wouldn't be much of a intrusion, or we would use the word de minimis. Up at the top, that little corner up there, just is a foot and a half into the 20 foot. We're asking for a foot and a half, that top corner, everybody see that? And then 10 feet for the length of the storage facility. if you have the pictures, too, I don't know if you can roll through those. I try to give you, some of you I know visit this site, but if you don't. So that's looking down the property line. You see the building to the right, to the left, that's already existing. And it'd be hard to see, actually, where maybe the 160-foot length building. Could I have 1 second? Yeah, it would. I just asked my client to make sure it was right. The building, I mean, the building should be about 10 foot tall with a pitch. So it will be on the other side of the fence and kind of act as just another fence, quite frankly. And if I could have the next photo, or maybe that's it, if you run through them all. There are just two. So if you have the hard copies, yeah, there are just two, I'm sorry. But we tried to show the front and then a little further how far back it goes. So there is one house and some outbuilding, some gardens off to the right, but it's pretty highly vegetated there. So as far as your elements are concerned, that to grant a variance, the fact that the 2013 case that you actually already granted one, albeit this is in a different location, but you've recognized this area and that parcel as unique, and the zoning's appropriate for this. As far as cannot otherwise be developed, you always can say, well, obviously you can develop it, but what's key about that phrase is reasonableness, and you put the word reasonable in there, is what he is asking for is somewhat reasonable. It's already developed in this fashion. He's trying to provide an alternative service for his customers and do it in a way that seems rational and sort of to complement what he's already done there. Sort of unfinished on that side as far as that zoning. Not created by the applicant. You know, quite frankly, when you talk about that, you say, well, he didn't create the shape of this property or the topography that required the stormwater, but he's dealt with it in a professional way and got a site plan, and that's what he's doing today. I mean, that's what he did in the past, and today he's just asking you for the 10-foot forgiveness on that side because of all the circumstances. Will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. The board 10 years ago indicated by putting one of those longer ones on the other side, 40 feet closer to the front of to Lighthouse Road, wasn't going to alter the neighborhood. And this is actually on the other side of that, further east. And it's the minimum variance. And I indicated because of the stormwater, they just wanted to move it off the edge of that and get it as close as they could. But they needed a little more space. I don't know if you have any questions for me or Mr. and Mrs. Clark.
Any questions from the board?
For you,
I can.
Do you have one of your clients affirm your testimony?
Oh, yeah, sure. Thank you, Mr. Sure. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you stand up, please?
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Douglas Clark, 32113 Lighthouse Road, Sevierville, Delaware.
Tamara Clark, 32113 Lighthouse Road, Selbyville, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
We want to stay there for a second. I'll ask you first.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy, you've heard what I've represented to the Board of Adjustment. Is it true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
It is.
Okay. Have you worked in the storage business for a while?
Yes.
How long?
Since we were incepted. It's been 23 years.
Oh, very good. Same question to you, Mr. Clark. You've heard my representations to the Board of Adjustment. Are true, correct, to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, sir.
Questions?
Any questions for the applicants?
Question. To the right-hand side, it appears to have blacktop in certain sections of that area. Is that where the building is going to go, is over top these blacktopped areas?
When originally we were going to develop a three-story, it was going to be office space. We needed all that parking,
right?
Which we bet Suckins County's criteria. The pandemic pandemic hit, we built the three-story. We don't need as much parking. So basically, we're just going to switch out paving for a building. So we're not creating any new impervious area. We're just going to swap out what we can use. I don't have no use for the parking anymore.
Right.
That's why we're asking for the variance.
How close will the building be to the fence? I'm assuming the fence is going to stay?
We're going to take the fence out, and our building is going to be the new fence as far as that.
If I may add, to the extent that the fence is just inside of the border line of the property line, the building will be property line.
Right.
So approximately 10 feet from the fence.
Thank you.
In some ways, obviously, it's their property, but it...
Well, then I will ask, if you're taking the fence out, will you be butting the fence to the building for security measures?
Yes,
then?
So if you could go back to the one drawing. So what we'll do, I'm not going to approach the screen. So we'll have a fence that will come from here to tie into the back of the building. There's already an existing fence here that will leave. But we'll tie this in, and then someday we may, at the front of the where the two buildings meet, put a gate in there. We don't know about that yet. We've got a whole new keyless entry system that we may not even need a gate as far as that.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
For the one proposed one-story metal frame building, have you thought about making it smaller so you don't need the foot and a half of variance?
Well, yes, I have thought about that, but once again, what I'm trying to do for here is there's a need for antiques, exotics, and all that. I'm trying to keep it so that when people who don't have the best driving skills, I know a foot and a half doesn't sound like a lot, but I'm just trying to keep everything here. So if a car is parked up here in a handicap, they can swing in there without binding everybody up as far as that. So yes, I've kind of studied it out there in the field, and unfortunately, that's what works best. I know it sounds silly, but we're trying to keep the flow of traffic in. You know, if somebody needed a handicap or if somebody was unloading here, it wouldn't bind cars up or a moving truck as bad.
Sounds like there's no opposition. Have you talked to the neighbors on that side at all about it?
Unfortunately, there's a language barrier because they're Korean or whatever. So I've tried to say hi, and there's just no. It's a major language barrier as far as that.
Okay. Well, yeah, my question was just going to be about the fence, too, because I thought the fence would kind of create a barrier there, but you are going to do a new fence.
Yeah, we put the fence up to kind of screen everything when we built the three-story, but I'd rather use the building as a screening and take the fence down and just tie in where we have applicable space between the buildings.
Okay.
I really don't want the fence there. I'd rather use the building.
So there's not going to be a new fence?
Well, there will be a fence between each building.
Between the two buildings as far as that, but there won't be the one that you'll
there
see.
Won't be one, there won't be a fence the length of the...
Yes,
exactly.
Yes, that's correct.
Have there been any complaints about the current buildings and where they sit? From neighbors, bystanders?
At least for the record, I don't think anything was in the record.
Not to my knowledge either.
Okay.
No, we've been there for 20 plus years, and I mean, the new three-story building, I mean, we've got nothing but compliments from everybody that comes up there as far as that. We've tried to put a product out that's above and beyond what a storage facility is.
So I'm looking at the property to the right, the area where both the variances are going to come into play here, and I see a buffer on that side. I see the fence there. Does that extend the length of what you're proposing?
Okay, I'm not sure I'm following.
There's a buffer on the, your pictures show a buffer from the neighboring.
I think it's on their property, actually.
Yes, but is that like considered, would that be the length of from where you're?
Where's the building start behind that telephone pole?
Yes.
Oh, I
yes.
see.
Would that be?
It actually starts beyond the buffer. So the buffer would be closer to 54. So this is what he's calling the buffer here.
What drawing are you looking at?
I'm just looking at the picture.
Can I approach you and that way I can figure it out?
Let's do this.
What I'm asking is, does the buffer protrude out further it's closer to 54 than the proposed buildings do?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. How wide is that buffer? And how tall is that buffer?
Oh.
And is it?
And honestly, that's out of our control because that's not even our property.
I understand, but I'm just.
I would say.
Hold on. So.
If I may?
Yeah, go ahead.
You see that?
And it doesn't have to be exact. Like,
no, I don't.
I think it looks about 25 feet to me.
Yeah.
Looks about 15 feet wide, 20 feet
wide. Are these crepe myrtles on your property?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
you see the crepe myrtles on their property, and then the higher vegetation, it looks like a hydrangea.
That's on
theirs. And if you turn to the second page, they have rather long properties. So there's part of it that the vegetation is more like their vegetable garden and things like that. And then you see more trees in the back. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically where the stone stops is where my property line stops.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, so that and then all the trees is all the neighboring two lots.
Okay. Have you spoken with this neighbor in particular?
They're both, like I said, there's a language barrier for
okay.
both of them. It's mom and dad and son.
Thank you.
I tried to be nice, Wade, but I just... This language barrier is just...
All right, thank you. Mr. Sharp?
Yeah, just a couple, if I may. I know Dr. Hitchens had asked you about the rear building. We'll call them the rear and the side building.
Okay.
But the rear building, that is proposed to be 18.5 feet at the corner from that property line. And I understood your testimony was that you couldn't move it further towards the center because there's concern about folks... perhaps having access, maybe not being able to drive vehicles into that. Was there, did you explore the idea of one of two things? One, turning it so that it is parallel to the side property line so that the entirety of that building would be within the 20-foot barrier buffer there?
Then I got to contend with the fire lane. This property line is like a dog leg, so my fire lane dog legs in, so if I turn it, square it up, then I'm into the fire lane. I need 300 feet of fire lane from the beginning to the end.
Where's your fire lane? If you could show me on there, that would be really helpful.
So basically, my fire lane starts here at my entrance, in front of the three-story, and it goes all the way down to here, and then stops. So there's a formula that you, for every foot of perimeter, you have to have so many feet of fire lane. So my fire lane stops right here. So if I would bring this around to get this out, it would be in my fire lane.
No. What I was talking about was instead of having it shifted like this, you shift it so it's more that side of the building is parallel to your side property line. Would that not geometrically fit there?
You mean right here?
No, the side. Your building.
You turn this around.
If you ran that line indefinitely and you ran your side property indefinitely, they will intersect. But if you were to turn it such that there was a parallel, that they ran parallel to each other.
So you mean take this line and make it on this line?
Yes.
Yeah, so that'll be in my fire lane.
Okay.
So this part here will come in my fire lane, and then.
You wouldn't be able to push that thing back then?
No, because then I'm fighting the tax ditch.
All right.
So I've got a little bit of grace with the tax ditch as far as that, and then if I swing around, then I get into my fire lane.
So you have a tax ditch. Is that on your property? Or
yes, I have a tax ditch that runs, well, it runs from all the way down Murphy's to Murphy's.
So you have a tax ditch in the rear yard, which limits some of your rear yard.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And I've already applied for a variance when I built this building, so that's why I kept it in line with this right here. That's why it's kind of on, if you look at it, it's kind of like on the same plane.
So my next question is one of the things that you have to demonstrate is that it is the minimum variance to afford relief. Is there a reason why that, particularly with the rear building, but also to the side building, but that you look at a smaller building? And I say that with the rear building, that if you had one less bay, it would appear that you would not need a side yard variance at all.
Yes.
Okay, is there a reason why that wouldn't work?
economics. I just was, you know, I could fit it in here as far as that, and so I just squared it off. So it's just a matter of economics and building the building, trying to make it more economical so I can keep the rent cheaper. And then the side yard, so like I said, before we built the three-story, like I said, this was all office, and I put my storm water through here, and then after pandemic, we changed everything up. So it was kind of a, we're kind of an after effect because I've already got my underground storm water in, so we're limited. And that's another reason why this building is too, because I have a stormwater pipe that goes over here to this right here. So that's kind of where everything is positioned for the underground stormwater. For me to go move to underground stormwater now, it would disrupt the whole business pattern.
If you don't mind going back up to the podium there. That's all right. Yeah, I guess the other thing that we look at is when I get, the board has to look at this minimum variance to afford relief. In other words, if you can build in the compliance with the code, that's kind of what the code is surmising that you do. I know the board previously granted variances on the other side of the property from the front yard, and in reading those findings, it was stated in there that part of that was you had started developing that, and then the setbacks had changed kind of midstream, and those other buildings had been contemplated at that time. And then since then, if I understand the record correctly, from Mr. Willard, who expertly explained it, is that you bought or acquired or had adjacent property, you combined that with the other property that you had, and then you built a large building on that property, which was intended for office space, but is now being repurposed for storage. And now we're looking to add even more storage to this parcel. Again, I go back to how is this the minimum variance to afford relief as far as the usage of the property? That'd be a question for Mr.
Yeah, Moore, I mean, despite the fact that I expertly offered this prior finding, it doesn't seem to be swaying you. I think it is significant when you identify how the board treated this overall C1 property. You know, when you get into minimal, you know, they don't have to be bright lines. In this case, they have a C1 property. It's developed for commercial. And if you look at the larger site plan they got in 2021, it's about 7 pages, very detailed. You can tell they've designed this because of the fire lane and the stormwater. And the stormwater was created not, I mean, they built it. You want to say that's, they created that problem yourself. I think that's what you're getting at. They moved it just off far enough so they can maintain that stormwater and the pipe. And the stormwater was all put in because of the topography of the property. So that's how I would address your minimum effort. And I think they've done it in a very professional way that probably could even enhance adjacent properties.
So is the stormwater and the tax ditch and some of the fire marshal requirements, is that kind of make it difficult to develop it?
I could see you writing that in your findings in it. I wouldn't appeal it because I know they're coming in a few months, and we'd rather see that. And that's, you know, I think it is. It's somewhat unique for all those reasons. This is its location, a C1 just nestled on the edge of town like that. But ironically, maybe not ironically, thankfully, it's actually serving a purpose. And they're running a good business, and they're trying to do it in a professional way. And this is well engineered. We've tried to give you the renditions to show that they build what they say they're going to build. And you can always tweak it. You could probably build that building in the back and just chop off that 1.5 foot. I'm sure an architect could figure that out, which would just be more cost. But it seems de minimis and sort of reasonable to what they're asking for, at least.
Well, I did have two other questions. Looking at the side yard, and I notice here it says there's a top of ditch on the side yard. Are we having any issues with the setback on the side yard from the tax ditch? I know you'd mentioned in the rear that was an issue, but not on the side.
My property is built up way higher. We had to build it up to meet the storm underground stormwater. We built it up, so we capture all our stormwater on our side. We do not shed any stormwater to the adjacent neighbors as far as that.
Okay. And then the other question I had was, and I think you alluded to it, it was the building that you currently have that was intended initially for office has been repurposed. Sounds like you don't need as much parking. But with the addition of these storage units, what is the anticipated effect on parking that those will have? Because it sounds like we're taking some parking away, we're adding more units.
Yeah, I think the parking for like Sussex County for storage is like, I want to say one per 5,000. And we have four parking spaces up front. We'll have two on the end of that building. And then we have three there, then a handicap. And what I've, off the top of my head, but we are within the parking because I've already looked at that because I knew that would be.
Okay. I was just something I was wondering about when looking at this.
When we designed this, we come back for the variance. I took that into consideration because I know that's one of the hot topics that everybody always
and
asks.
The professionals they engaged were involved in this before, just in 2021. So they're very familiar with the property and the helpful, obviously.
All right. I have no further questions, but I don't know if the board has any.
Any further questions from the board?
I have to reiterate, the point is that you have to make the minimum, at least as much as you can, for the variance. In the rear property, you have a conceptual drawing of 7 bays. Could you do 6?
I could. I mean, it's just economy of scale is what it is as far as that. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, the more bays I put in there,
the more revenue, I understand.
Well, no, it's not that, but it's just cheaper. I can build the building because I'm buying more steel, more concrete, so I'm buying a little bit on volume as far as that. So, but I mean, if it's a deal breaker, I mean, we can make that up for a motorcycle bay. motorcycles.
Yeah. I guess the 1.5 seemed reasonable, but I understand your point totally. Yeah, it's always going to be in before you guys, or excuse me, the board in that regard.
Further questions? But please have a seat.
Thank you.
Is there anyone present who is in favor of case number 13115? Is there anyone present who is in opposition of case number 13115? Have two. Would you like to speak? If you would please come up, we'll swear you in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Janice Unitas. My address is 19066 Lily Pond Circle, Shelbyville, Delaware, 19975.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
The one thing that stood out to me was that just because they have a language barrier to that neighbor that they're encroaching on their property by 10 feet, they've never made an effort to get an interpreter or anything. I think it's a little unfair that these people have never reached out in that way. You know, it just seems to me that I hate to use the word, but they're almost discriminating against them because they haven't made the effort. That's my concern. And there seems to be a continuation of, and I'm not trying to say that anyone should be stopped from doing business and making as much money as they can, but you know, I live right behind where the, you know, this property is right behind my backyard. We were under the impression when we purchased the house that land was not going to be developed any further. Now, you know, whether the builder had the right to say that or not, you know, we can't control that. But my concern as well is if they keep saying, well, you gave us this back in 2021, why don't you give us more? Well, then what happens in 2028? Do they come back again? Well, you gave it to us in 2025. You know, how much more are they going to encroach on all of the neighbors? I guess it's more of a statement than a question. My big question is there any way to protect that neighbor from all of a sudden having someone encroach on their land? I mean, I'm familiar with the area. I pass it a million times. And what they're talking about is that vegetation, that's those people's gardens, and they're pretty big gardens. I presume it's for more than just personal use.
Any questions? I have one for you. When you said you were under the impression that that would not be developed in any further, who did you?
When we talked to D.R. Horton, went in, it was somebody. So that's why I'm saying they probably had no basis to say that. You know, they wanted to sell a house. They're going to tell you whatever. But, you know, I also saw that there was a house right there in a yard. You know, unless they buy that house and that property, then they'd have the right to move that direction, build that direction. But again, my biggest, the thing that struck me the most was that their excuse for not talking to those people was because there's a language barrier. Well, you can get an interpreter. I just feel that it's just a matter of common decency to at least notify those people and give them the same rights that the rest of us have.
Okay. Any questions? Mr. Sharp?
You mentioned that your property is adjacent to this property, is that correct?
It's their property faces Lighthouse Road here. If you go into where I'm in Coastal Villages.
Well, Ms. Lepore is pulling up the tax map. I didn't know if perhaps you could show us on there where your property is located. You could walk up to there if you wish.
So, if you go in here, my property is right here.
So, what lot 19066, if I'm reading that.
That's my address, yes.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
My name is Suzanne Langrell. I'm at 19076 Lily Pond Circle. So,
before we get to, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. And I guess not. You're a few houses down, I guess, from the prior.
Correct. Two up on the map there. So from the back of my house, I would be able to see the building that they're saying will be on the back of the property there. I share the concern of Jan that we haven't done enough to talk to the neighbor whose property line is directly affected. I also just share the concern that it is getting a little bit bigger than maybe anticipated, especially since bringing antique cars into the mix would change kind of the sound level and the dynamic of the facility there. So that would be my concern.
Questions?
I have a question. As a neighbor, so to speak, do you have any complaints? Do they keep it clean? Is it, you know, mostly quiet?
Yeah, it is. It's mostly a quiet facility. The one time that I did see someone in the back there that shouldn't have been there, like, sleeping, they acted upon it very well, like, very good neighbors. I just have concerns that it just may be getting a little bigger. And I liked the ideas of maybe changing it to scale it down a little bit.
Thank you. Is there anyone else present who would like to speak in opposition of case number 13115? Okay. If there is nothing further, I will close the public hearing and entertain.
I don't know if Mr. Willard or his client wishes to address any of the opposition comments.
If you would like to respond.
Those are very good comments from the neighbors. I mean, you got some information that they run a pretty good shop there. I think as far as the neighbor to the right, I asked the same questions about that. Is there any contact? Have you talked to them? And it got us, they've been there a long time and seem to keep somewhat to themselves. So we all have different relationships with our neighbors. Some are more, you know, some come over for coffee, some don't. So I don't think that was intentional or anything. I think Mr. Clark spoke honestly about that. It just doesn't have much contact. So that's all I know about that. But I think, you know, good neighbors, that was a good, decent comment, I thought. And to the last lady that spoke, you know, the building, if it is the, that we're asking for the 1.5, it looks like it'd be somewhat sheltered on that right-hand side, even though she's higher up. So that's all I have.
Can we look at the image with the blue line? Looks like the property line's highlighted in blue.
The rendition, Mr. Kingery?
Yeah, so I'm just looking, well, there's an image where that view, but there's a blue line drawn over the superimposed on the.
And it's the map that we included in the packet. Eagle view.
Page 13.
Yeah, it's on the main application.
13.
Yeah, there it is. So if we blow, if we can zoom in a little bit, I'm just wondering, is that, so that's the fence. Kind of see a black line along the asphalt. Right there, that's the fence that's going to be removed. Is that right?
The building, the longer 160-foot long building would actually, there wouldn't be a fence there.
I'm just trying to get a sense of like these neighbors we're talking about. That's their property right there, right? And those, the wooded area, and then their gardens.
Correct. Right to there. To the right. Yes.
So right now there's a fence right there. That's a barrier between the asphalt and the neighbor's property.
Correct.
So that black line that's the fence will be gone.
Correct.
And this proposed building will be along that line.
That's correct.
So but the fence is, so how, the actual building would be how far?
10 feet. So it would sort of be, in essence, they'd have 10 feet more of their property. It would be their property.
You mean back this way 10 feet from the fence?
Yeah.
And the fence is gone.
And he indicated that, so the building itself would be the fence, and if they were to build a wall, I guess it'd be like that, and then they connect the new building in the back, the corner, to the corner of the long building, so it would be fenced, the whole area would be fenced, and a good portion of it would be the back wall of the long, narrow building. So it would actually expand. I mean, I guess you know what I'm saying. The fence would be moved back from the neighbor's property, giving them what looks like more property.
I guess I'm just wondering if a fence provide some benefit to the neighbor as far as it, them not being affected by this building.
Yeah, actually, you know, I see sometimes fences close to buildings. I've even some neighborhood where I live, actually, there was somebody built a fence, and they built a fence right next to it, and it was like, you can't maintain the area that's beneath it, and this would be easier to maintain, I think, you know, whether it's for weed whacking.
It's the back wall.
Yeah. They might even be able to grow something on it or something. And that you saw the fence that's up, it's not necessarily that attractive with the chain link and the black stuff that goes through it. This would be something more substantial. That answer your question? Or,
yeah.
Further questions from the board? Sir?
I have nothing further. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
There are no further questions. I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. I move that we deny case number 13115 for Douglas and Tamara Clark for the request variance pending a final written decision based upon the record made during this public hearing for the following reasons. The property does not have a unique physical condition which has been created an exceptional practical difficulty for the applicant. The applicant has failed to demonstrate that the property cannot be developed in strict conformity to the Sussex County Zoning Code, and the variance is necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. The exceptional practical difficulty has been created by the applicant. The variance will alter the essential character of the neighborhood or will substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use of, or development of adjacent properties or will be detrimental to public welfare. The variance will not represent the minimum variances necessary to afford relief and the lease modification of the region at issue.
I have a motion. Do I hear a second?
I second that motion, Mr.
Chairman. I have a motion and a second. Mr. Kingery?
Aye.
Dr. Hitchens?
Aye.
Mr. Lovingeth?
Aye, for my reason.
I'm voting nay. So with a vote of 3-1, case number 13115 has been denied.